Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And I was out last week, and surprisingly, or at least for me, I'm here this week. I got like stupid sick, like really sick, and I'm just glad to be upright. So, Chuck, thank you, and thank you to everyone else who was here last week to cover for me, since I couldn't get my sorry butt out of bed.
Hey, that's what we all do here, Jeff. No problem. No problem.
And somehow everything still continues to run. It is a well-oiled machine.
Okay. If
we're going to go with that, just roll with it.
Yeah. Can I offer you some medical advice?
I would love some medical advice.
Stop drinking the cheap stuff.
This is excellent advice. I have already taken that advice to heart with my tea, which is what I'm saying is in this cup. Now I'll do it for the rest of my liquid treats. And Chuck, you might recognize this mug.
I do recognize that mug. I do recognize
for
that
those
mug.
Of you that are playing it along at home, Chuck and I were at MacStock a couple weeks ago, and Ecamm gave everyone mugs. And my thought at the time was, why do I want to try and pack a mug in my luggage? It's going to get broken. It didn't get broken. Right? Clearly, I packed it. And it turns out that I was out of mugs today, so I needed a mug. This is why I brought the mug home.
And
Just for today.
It's a really nice mug. I mean, I'm not a hot drink person, but I will, a lot of times I'll put like soup or something in a decent sized mug, and it is a decent sized mug. So kudos to the Ecamm folks. They really did a nice job. And it wasn't one of those things where they just sent a tchotchke or something that, you know, gets either thrown in the hotel trash can or the trash can at home when you get it home. It is in my cabinet. It will be used.
And mine is getting its inaugural use today.
Oh, I'm honored that I was here for it.
I'm glad that I have it, because otherwise I'd have tea in my hands, and that would just no,
that doesn't work.
Hey everyone, it's Summer of Fun, and what that means is that the tech and Apple news cycle is kind of slow right now. So we're just picking different topics and talking about what we want. And to be clear, just so everyone knows right up front, I still feel like crap. And because of that, we will probably end up doing a shorter show today, just so that I stay awake through the whole thing. But hey, it's also Summer of Fun. And apparently there are no bosses of us, so who can tell us otherwise? Yeah.
Now, see, if we were in the same place and Jeff fell asleep during the show, I would find a Sharpie and give him some cosmetic alterations. But since he's in Denver, I'm in Pennsylvania. Yeah, not going to happen.
If you were here, Chuck, right there, choose your color, choose your pen tip size. There are so many Sharpies within hand's reach right now.
And I've got exactly two. I've got a silver one and a black one, and that's the extent of my ability to participate in this. So,
you can make me look distinguished. I can make me look like a clown.
Yeah, good. Well, there you go. There you go.
Yeah. Hey, our Summer of Fun topic today, for those of you that are watching, listening to the recording later, or didn't tune in before the show started, we decided we're going to talk about Apple and wearables, and what's triggering this is a discussion. Well, Chuck, you found an article that talked about why Apple's health ring, fitness ring, is going to be better than everyone else's health or fitness ring.
Yeah, I'll throw it in our chats, Jeff. It's now, let's be real clear here. We do not have an Apple Ring right now. There is no announced Apple Ring. This is barely even a rumor. It's one of those one of those pieces like, well, you know, if Apple makes it, it'll, quote, how the Apple Ring will blow all the other smart ring manufacturers out of the water.
Yeah. And now keep in mind, there were discussions for a long time about Apple doing like a Chromebook style version of the Mac. That never happened. Foldable phones, that still hasn't happened. There are a lot of products that are out there in the wild today that the pundits all say, well, Apple isn't making their version of that yet, therefore they've fallen behind. Or Apple isn't making their version of that yet, but when they do, boy, howdy, it's going to be great. And then we never see the product because Apple never did it. So we don't know if Apple's making a smart ring. My question is, why? What is it that Apple can actually bring to the table that would make making a smart ring a good thing? Like, what are they going to do to differentiate their product? Because if Apple can't differentiate the product, then it's not going to come to market, which I think is part of the reason why we don't have airport base stations anymore. Because they couldn't bring anything significantly new to the market or interesting. And at the price points, companies like Eero had already taken up that space and Apple didn't want it.
So in the chat, Magic Man says, and at only $4.99, it should be. Yeah, so you're right, Magic
So the
Man.
rumor is it's a $500 ring, I guess.
No, I don't think it's no, that I don't believe I didn't really make note of that. I don't think it was specified in here as to what it would be. But that is one of the challenges, you know, is it, and look, there are other smart rings out there that you know seem to be having some level of success, mainly I think as health devices. And so you get into this question of, and Magic Man in the chat also said glucose monitor. That to me is the thing that, you know, everybody seems to want, you know, is
A
blood pressure
non-invasive
in.
glucose monitor, I mean that's like a holy grail for a lot of people.
Right. And so, you know, would it be easier? And man, I don't know about you, Jeff, but I am way outside my comfort zone here. So this is just raw speculation or asking. Would it be easier to do a glucose monitor and or blood pressure monitor with a ring rather than with the Apple Watch?
Here's my take on that. Because of the sensors and the power usage that you would probably want to put it in a watch simply because you have more space to work with. But if it's like a very, very focused device, like this ring is your glucose sensor. And that's like basically all it does. Okay, maybe put it in a ring. But right now we do not have, keep in mind, I'm about to speak very US centric here because that's the perspective that I have being in the United States. We do not have a FDA approved non-invasive glucose monitor today. And that's because right now the companies that are working on cracking this nut, if you will, have not been able to produce something that is accurate enough and reliable enough to be used as a medical device. And if you're doing glucose monitoring, then odds are you're doing it because you need to know exactly what your glucose levels are. And so giving you something that can offer you trends over time probably isn't going to be good enough to be something that you actually want to use or could use.
Jeff, I agree with you. You know, I mean, look, let's acknowledge that we're just going to do rampant speculation here as to what could be what you'd like to see it, which almost turns into a science fiction discussion. Magic Man just said that, let's see, I lost. Oh, he said link the two, I guess the watch and the phone, which sounds like a decent idea, except that I'm not sure it solves the battery problem, because if those sensors have to be monitoring constantly or on a regular basis, they're still going to be sucking up power. And there's no, it could report to the phone, or excuse me, it could report to the watch, and that would make a lot of sense. But how much of a power savings is that? Beyond these health considerations, what else could you do? Well, I don't know if you could put have it vibrate when you get a message. Does that really make a big difference? Because my watch does that. What's the price going to be? Let's see, what's this?
Well, okay, Chuck, here. Going with the idea that a ring would be an accessory for an Apple Watch, this would address a cost issue. What if Apple started making ring accessories for Apple Watch, and each ring offered specific health functions, like a dedicated function, like a ring that is a glucose monitor? That you would buy if you want to do non-invasive glucose monitoring, and then it feeds the data back to your Apple Watch. And I suppose it could feed it back to your phone as well, but I'm thinking these would be like add-on sensor packages for an Apple Watch, but they don't actually go in the watch, they just go on your finger.
I struggle with it. I mean, first of all, can you imagine what the pundits would say about, Apple? They're only making, I have to have a glucose monitoring ring on my right hand and a blood pressure ring on my left hand and, something else on my pinky finger. And pretty soon I'm going to look like I'm wearing brass knuckles, So.
Chuck, I've got the image in my head of you walking through a conference, rings on all your fingers, and you've got the sleeves on your polo shirt rolled all the way up to your shoulders, and you've got that strut going on, like, oh yeah, I'm
Oh yeah,
bad.
yes. Like, I'm the Apple version of Mr. T.
Yes.
No, this is just that's not a good picture. I don't know. I mean, first of all, I like the idea in some ways, although I am not a ring wearer. I mean, so many people say, "Oops, sorry, my camera just blinked at me." I'm not a ring wearer, nor have I ever really been one. I think for a while I had a class ring and that was about it. So other than that, but I've always worn a watch. So, and I, Jeff, if memory serves, you were one of those that did not wear a watch until the Apple Watch came along. Am I correct on that?
You are correct. And I wear an Apple Watch not because I like wearing watches, but I have come to accept that wearing this watch, which still annoys me to have the thing on my wrist, it gives me or it's a useful tool for me. And this is how this tool is carried. So I have a watch on my wrist, even though I'm not a big fan,
Yeah,
which tells you how useful the Apple Watch is to me.
exactly. And I mean, for me, it was a no-brainer because I just swapped out. I think I had one of those Citizens before. I gave up on the Geek watches because they just never seemed to do anything that I really, really wanted them to do. And the again, if memory serves, and this is, I mean, Apple Watch One came out, and I put the Citizen down and I've never picked it back up. But it was one of those eco drives that, you never have to wind. You don't have a battery. It just goes by your motion. So I like that idea because it was no maintenance. Now I have an Apple Watch that, I charge usually when I'm in the shower, and that's more than enough to get me through the day. So there is that's that had to become a new ritual because I do sleep with it. So now we get into another question about a ring is how are you going to charge it?
I'm assuming it would be inductive charging, like we're doing with the Apple Watch. So you just take the ring and set it on the charging pad. Although that would put the coils in the wrong at the wrong angle. So would you have to stand it on end? Or does it have to have like a little fake finger that you drop it on?
And that's the one I'm looking, because I'm thinking, the edge of a ring, that's not a lot of contact with the charging plate. And your charging plate has to be a plate. It has to be in a horizontal position. And I know we've talked about this, but I think I know my Apple Watch charger, because I have a dedicated stand for that, has it at an angle, so it could be used theoretically, at night. Same thing with my phone. My phone is on a charger that angles it so I can use the standby mode with the clock at night. So now I have to have probably one of the pads that, like on the combo devices, you see that would charge the Apple AirPods.
Oh, sure. So now your charging plate gets bigger because it has to hold a phone, a watch, AirPods, and a ring.
Right. And again, I think about the, I mean, even the, let's see, this is not a charging case, but you think, case that matches my shirt, happy accident. But you think about how much space there is here that would sit on the charging pad versus just the very small physical contact made by a ring. And that presents another bit of a challenge.
All right. So what if the ring is a device that's more for gesture control?
Oh, now that gets really interesting.
Yeah,
That gets
so
really interesting.
I mean you wouldn't necessarily need it with, say, Vision Pro because it already has all the other sensors. But let's say you want to have some sort of gesture control for your iPhone, or I guess for your Mac. And we already have that gesture control to a degree with Apple Watch. And when we get the new version of Watch OS this fall, we'll have even more control. But yeah, what if it's like a gesture control thing?
Was it the Leap that you could plug into your iMac or your Mac and do gestures out in front of it, and it recognized the motion of your hand out there, and you could
Oh, I
control
forgot
things?
about that. I think you're right. It was the Magic Leap, right?
Magic Leap, magic, good for you. Yes, Magic Leap. So yeah, something like that. And but instead of having to reach out to where, again, I'm in front of my right in front of my screen where the Magic Leap would be, I'd be able to do it out back here. I don't know. I mean, that's, and I do not have a Vision Pro at this point, so I don't know how that could possibly be added to a Vision Pro interface.
I think it would be more for controlling your phone or your Mac. Because with Vision Pro, the sensors that it needs to be able to track all the gesture movement, that's already built in.
I want to catch up here because Magic Man is throwing a lot of things in the chat. It's great. It depends on what functions it can bring as extras to the watch and phone. Put the watch on charge while I shower and watch and make it the first tea of the day. That's a 20 to 30 minutes is enough for the full day. That's what mine is. Although I think I have a Series 7, Magic Man. He says the round ring shape would be conductive to mag charging. So.
Yeah, well, and I am not a conductive or inductive charging engineer, so I don't know. I was just basing my comment on how all my other devices that use wireless charging have to sit in relation to the charging coils.
Right. He also says, or TV. And
Oh,
that's
an
another.
Apple TV remote on your finger. That's kind of cool.
That might be.
You want to fast forward and rewind through shows? You're just doing like this, waving your hand back and forth, tapping on the ring to pause, like maybe rub across the ring to increase volume or decrease volume. That would be a very interesting remote.
Jeff, I'm remembering something. I don't know if it was something shown at CES or whether it was an actual product that made it out. But, and this is going to sound insane, right? But wasn't there something that you could take your hand and put like a phone, and it would allow you to make calls that way?
That sounds super familiar.
Yeah, and I cannot remember. Obviously, it never caught on because we can't remember what it, which one it was.
Right. But I mean, yeah, that does sound familiar.
Yeah,
And I do
I've.
remember, I don't remember any companies actually producing a television like this, but I remember seeing patents for televisions, and it might have been Samsung, where it has sensors built into the TV. And so you're using gestures to control the TV from the couch. The other part of the patent, though, was horribly insidious because the television would be able to show you ads that you couldn't fast forward through. And then you had to do what the television said, the type of motions the television told you to do before the commercial would end and you could go back to watching TV.
Oh, man. I think it was Gary Vaynerchuk that said that marketers ruin everything. And I'm starting to believe it. You know, I mean,
All right, Chuck. So I have a question for you.
Okay.
Is there a wearable anything that you would like to see Apple make?
Wow. I'm trying to think. I mean, I've got a watch now. AirPods are not considered a wearable, I don't believe.
I'm okay considering AirPods wearable because you stick it in your ear. Like we
Okay.
stick the Apple Watch on our wrist and we consider the watch wearable. How about if I change if I temper what I'm saying or refine what I'm saying by if you put something else into AirPods that allows it to do more than just play music. Or have microphones so that you can talk. Would that make it a wearable? Like if they put a temperature sensor in the AirPods, is it now a wearable device as opposed to speakers in your ears?
Well, I mean, it could be, and that would make a lot more sense to take a temperature there than probably anywhere else. I mean, do I really care that much about monitoring my temperature, 24/7? Well, 23/7, 365, give it an hour for charging. And also, am I, now maybe if, look, maybe if I'm a runner. And that's an interesting question, Jeff. Could that be a blood pressure taking situation? Because then I as opposed to going and putting on the cuff, I could just stick my AirPods in my ear and see what my blood pressure is. And if I'm exercising, I might almost probably have AirPods in, and it could be monitoring my blood pressure and my temperature. So
Excuse me.
sure, that seems like a decent idea. Now, we're back to some of the power questions. We're back to the size, because unless we want it now, I've got the pros in. So do we go back to something with the longer stem to handle both the power and the electronics? I don't know. I mean, that sounds like it might be a decent trade-off.
Okay, so possibly an enhanced AirPods with health and fitness tracking. Magic Man, you're just like all talky today, and I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Magic Man is saying, what about a pendant that could be like an AI controller of sorts? And that's an interesting idea. I remember at CES several years ago, there was a company that was making a pendant that you would wear, and it had some kind of sensors in it so that it would turn it would record for you. So it'd record audio and video. And you could set it so that excuse me, it would just record constantly, or it was doing like shots every few seconds, so you'd get like a sped up video of what you're doing, or you could set it so that if you're within a certain distance of something, it would automatically start recording. So oh, and it had, I think it had a location tracker in it also. Excuse me. So I would consider that a form of wearable.
I would agree with that. And I mean, I'm kind of all over the place now, Jeff, because all of these things, and how many of them do you need to do it? But would there be options for triggering geolocation activity,
Sure.
like my phone is right now?
Yeah, why not?
So build that in.
It's
And to
I think an obvious wearable would be like regular glasses where you're getting heads up display information. So the AR experience that Google promised us with Google Glass but implemented poorly. But then the trick is, how do you get the how do you get the power usage to a point where it's not like Vision Pro, where there's a cord hanging off your head going to a battery pack?
And so everybody wants the if you've read Demon by Daniel Suarez, that's what everybody wants, is those kind of glasses. Realistically, though, there's so many issues with that, not the least of which is privacy in a world that seems to just be intent on identifying me every 10 minutes. And I'm reading a book that I will eventually talk about at some point that has to do with some of this, which is kind of terrifying. But anyway, so I mean, it would be great if I could put these on or put on a pair of those, and I walk into Mac Stock and I see somebody there that I haven't seen in a year. I met last year, and it would be great if who they are could pop up so that I could greet them by name because I don't remember their name. So I mean, that would be fantastic. It'd be even better than if I could have access to additional information about that individual, about how I met them, where I met them, what interaction I've had with them. But again, that's science fiction, and we found out along the way here that science fiction looks great in science fiction, but when you apply it to the real world, people abuse it.
Yeah, Tony Stark's glasses. That I think
Yes.
that's a great modern example that a lot of people would recognize.
Yes.
And I mean, the Tony Stark glasses, super cool, super great. And there's no way we could fit technology like that into glasses today. And even still, those glasses had a wireless connection via satellite to a massive computer system that was handling the actual processing.
Magic Man says you're talking Minority Report, and you're right. I mean, this is a little bit different for the Mac show because we're just rampantly speculating and, taking it to, where could it go? But I feel like now, because we've had some experience with some of these devices that are so ubiquitous and with us so much of the time, that we've started to determine that maybe this is not something we want all the time. Maybe we don't want to be tracked all the time by everyone, because again, it has been abused in the past. It would be great. The AirTag would have been fantastic, and nobody would have ever challenged it until it was abused. And then people were starting to say, is this a good idea? So
But it's also a testament to how good the product is that Apple made in AirTags, because we had personal trackers like an AirTag for years and years, for a decade before AirTag came out, and we never saw reports, news stories about how dangerous these are until the AirTag happened.
right. Which may have been, I mean, were things being abused back then and they weren't getting the publicity? Was the public and law enforcement not aware of the trackers? The same way that, and with anything Apple, obviously it gets a lot of publicity. So that's a double-edged sword. You're right. The air tags, I mean, think about the people we're seeing right now or did see earlier this week, stuck with, especially with Delta, but with all the airlines, and they don't know where the luggage are. And well, if I have an air tag in my luggage, I've got a pretty good idea of where it is. And, and I may not be able to get to it because the airline may not let me, but I can probably
But
help
at
them
least you know where
pinpoint.
it is.
And I have a better chance of recovering it eventually.
All right. I have another wearables question for you, Chuck. We talk about wearables and we talk about devices that we're adding to our body. Wearables can also be clothes. Is there a space where Apple could make smart clothes? I don't know, would that be like shoes that more accurately track your gait and the distance you're traveling, or I don't know, a smart shirt that can adapt to conditions around you so you're always comfortable. But then it's also monitoring your body temperature, so if you're getting sick, you might know earlier, just like you can do with the temperature tracking if you wear an Apple Watch all night.
I mean, look, is it possible? I'm sure it is somewhere because I mean, they could build sensors into anything. For the footwear, I think a more logical approach would be to have something a la AirTag that you clip to
Like we
or
had.
tuck
Do you
in.
remember when Apple partnered with Nike and they made the little sensor that went in Nike shoes that had a special cutout in them? And there was an attachment that connected to your iPod and it would track your running?
I forgot about that.
I
So
have one of those.
it's already, of course you do. If Dave were here, he'd reach over and say, yeah, here it is.
He probably would. I've been in his office. I know he can reach all those things.
Yep, I've been there too. And you're right. You're right. Well, so that's already been done. So it could be done again. But it also means that then I've got to A, make sure it's charged, B, make sure I've inserted into the shoe or sneaker, and then C, make sure I'm wearing that shoe or sneaker during the time period that I want to track.
That's
I'm
true.
not so, or if they build it into the shoe, well, that means I got to charge my shoes every night. So
And we have seen that as a thing too, and people don't seem to be a fan of that.
yeah. I mean, it's almost to the point now of how good is good enough, because my watch. I mean, if you and I go on walk from, I don't know, walk down the Vegas Strip, okay, your step count is probably going to be different than mine. It just seems like there is no such thing as a standard step count, because if nothing else, we all have different strides.
And that's why you have to calibrate your Apple Watch, if you're going to be using it to track distances that you're going.
Right. So, does it really matter if I've gone 10, 1.2 miles or 1.4 miles?
And the answer to that is it depends. For some people, that those 2/10 of a mile matter, and for other people, it's just like, yeah, I had to walk more than a mile to get to where I was going, or I've walked more than a mile today. Good for me. But for some people, it's like I need, for whatever reason I have set for myself, I need to walk 1.5 miles every morning and every evening. And if I walk 1.4 miles, I'm a tenth of a mile short, which now means I have to walk 1.6 miles tonight so that I have my 3 full miles every day.
But is it really critical that you walk 3 miles every day, or is 2.9 to 3.1, is that range good enough?
That's a totally valid question. And I think It probably depends on the purpose or the person and their use case. I think
When
for
the
most people, if you want to walk 3 miles a day and you tracked yourself to 2.9 or 3.2 or whatever, yeah, close enough. I hit my mark.
And the reason I bring that up is because that's what we've got with the Apple Watch. You know, we've got something, and the phone to some degree too, that, you know, we've got something on our body already that is giving us good information. It might not be great information. You really would have to get them a dedicated pedometer and say, okay, how is this matching up to something that is built specifically for this? But the fact that now I can have all that on my wrist, along with all the other things that the Apple Watch does, I don't have to have a separate device. I don't have to charge my shoes or insert the little thing in my shoe
What a
to get that.
dystopian future. I have to charge. I can't go walking today. I need to charge my shoes.
Yeah. I like it. Hey, Magic Man, though, brought up an interesting thing. A jacket type would certainly cure the power situation.
Yes, I agree. And so what would the jacket be doing? And my first thought is it would be doing something like we both have seen people who are wearing vests that have a battery pack in them, and they can push a button and then the vest heats up. So something that a jacket you wear that can help you maintain a constant body temperature.
Which sounds more like a medical device, or, well, scratch that, you know, because I guess it could be a comfort device if you live in a climate that needs you to be a little warm. I'm sure there's also some technology out there that could, you know, give you a little refrigeration or a little cooling. So.
Well, in Colorado, it doesn't matter what time of year it is, doesn't matter what the temperature is, when you leave your house, you should always take a jacket. You may not need it, but you should always take it because there's a good chance you'll need it for something. And it could be to keep you warm, it could be to block the sun, it could be because it starts raining and your jacket can help keep you dry. So there are some places where having a jacket with you all the time totally makes sense. And there are other places where it wouldn't. So that would be a sometimes wearable. Is there a market for a sometimes wearable like that?
Depends on, like so many things, depends on the price, depends on the person. I mean, right now, it's interesting you say that in Colorado. In Pennsylvania, a lot of times I'll keep a light jacket or a sweater with me because you go into a restaurant and they have the air conditioning turned up so cold that you know, to be comfortable, you need to pull on a little something extra as opposed to what you're wearing outside, which is, you know, the less the better. So.
Hey, what's that company that makes the jackets and vests? Scotty.
Scotty Vest, yes.
Yeah, Magic Man in the chat room said the jacket could have loads of sensors, charging points, rings, and glasses. Basically, Magic Man, what you're describing is a Scotty vest or Scotty jacket. And those have all these pockets built in so that you can hold all your stuff. They have battery packs in them, at least some of them do, so you can charge all your stuff on the go. And depending on your use case, a Scotty vest or Scotty jacket could be a really useful thing. And every conference we go to, there's at least one person that probably more that has their jacket or vest with all the pockets and charger points built in.
And ironically, Jeff, my Scotty vest is sitting right over there because it's in my pile of stuff that I definitely want to I'm taking with me for my trip
Yep,
because
there you go.
I always wear the Scotty vest on the plane because that way when I go through security, I take everything out of my Scotty vest, or excuse me, out of my pockets and put it in the Scotty vest, and then I can take just the vest off, throw it on the luggage, you know, scanner,
The scanner
pick it
thing,
back
yeah.
up, pull it back on. Everything is right where I left it. I know exactly where it is. And it also allows me to carry a lot more stuff on the plane than I could in my just in my pants pockets. So, yeah, if you don't have a Scotty vest and you're traveling a lot, you need a Scotty vest.
Yeah, I have one of their coats that it's like a parka. It's insulated, but I mean, I'm not going to wear it out in the dead of winter because I'll freeze to death in it. But yeah, it has tons of pockets and you can pack everything in it. They're kind of crazy how much you can put in those. Yeah.
Hey, I want to circle back to one thing that I unintentionally said earlier, and I've thought about it, and we've never had a chance, the opportunity to discuss it. But that Citizen watch that I mentioned, that would charge itself adequately just by, the motion. I seriously doubt that's something that could drive, even the low power displays we have now. But would that have a potential place for any of these wearables, that technology? And I'm way outside my boundaries here because I don't know how much it generates or anything like that. But I know I never, my at that point, my watch never ran out of juice. I never found that, oh, my watch is dead.
Kinetic
So,
charging is a thing.
okay. So
And
is that something that could be leveraged?
maybe the thing with the kinetic charging devices that I've seen is that it either involves a hand crank or you need to have lots of motion. So like a device that is always getting shaken. I've seen some of these portable chargers that kinetically recharge themselves that you hang on a backpack. And so you go hiking and this thing is like swinging on your backpack and that charges the battery so that you have some power to recharge whatever when you get to wherever you're going. And I have found all of these to be except for the hand crank ones to be horribly inefficient. Like you'd be better off charging up a bunch of portable batteries and carrying the extra weight in your bag as opposed to using a kinetic charger. But it is a technology that is being sold today, and like any technology, it can improve over time. So at some point, maybe having some sort of kinetic charger built into your Apple Watch or your phone to help supplement the battery charge could be a thing.
Again, it's just, I mean, all these technologies are out there, and you're right, Jeff. It's probably not the most efficient thing, but it's an option. And somebody inside Apple has already gone through this and eliminated it, or has it on the shelf for a product that it might apply to later. So
Sure.
we'll have to see. We'll have to
Yep.
see. But it's
Yep.
fun to speculate on this stuff because we talk about what we want. And I feel like, at least for me, I've tempered what I want a lot more with the reality of what I've got. And I'm specifically thinking privacy and tracking and those kind of things that we never knew that we didn't want to be tracked because we were never really tracked before, or at least not that we knew about in quite the same way. So now that's really high on our list. What other things might we find that, gee, it sounds like a great idea, right up to the point that it's not?
Yeah, totally get it. But hey, you know what is a great idea? Working with
ESO
TSO
hosts.
hosts. That's
Yeah,
right.
I'm doing the Ben Rathick thing, yes.
You did great. Well done, Chuck. I'm so proud of you. All right, so why would I be bringing up TSO hosts? Well, it's because they are very generously giving us the resources we need to bring shows to you every single week. Excuse me. And what they do is they offer web hosting and they help people buy domain names, and they're taking that technology and saying, here you go. Here's the bandwidth that you need to live stream shows every week. Here's the hosting space you need so that there's a place for the BTN website to live. Here's the server space you need to store files so people can watch or listen to recordings anytime they want. And yeah, so they're taking what they do and giving that to us so we can do what we do. Without their help, we would not be able to do what we do here. And that's not hyperbole at all. That's just how it is, because it takes a lot of resources to make all of this happen. And because of TSO hosts, we can do that. So thank you, TSO hosts, for being here and supporting us. Now, I'm saying it out loud right now, so TSO hosts can hear me. But since all of you aren't on the show right now, that means they can't hear you. So what you can do so that they do hear you is go on social media. Thank TSO hosts for being here and supporting us. It only takes a minute. It's super easy to do. And it's a great way to let TSO hosts know that we all appreciate their generosity and the help that they give us here at the British Tech Network. So thank you again to TSO hosts. And as long as we're talking about TSO hosts, if you have found a domain name that you just have to get, like Chuck's Awesome Walking Shoes and Chuck's Fancy Wearables. I'm working on this. I'm gonna come up with something. But
I'm
anyhow,
terrified. I'm terrified, Jeff.
I better stop with coming up with the names because I'm about to go way off in left field with that. And anyhow, so you found that perfect domain name that you need to buy. Why not get it from TSO Hosts? Because they're going to make it easy to do, and they offer really good pricing. So there you go. Just it's super easy. Just go use TSO Hosts to buy those domain names. Get whatever you need, but make sure that you add the discount code BTN20 at checkout. Because you're part of the BTN family, they're giving you a 20% discount on their already great prices. So please take advantage of their generosity. And it's another way to let TSO hosts know that you appreciate that they're here. So, excuse me. Thank you again, TSO hosts, for being here and supporting the British Tech Network. All right. Now, in the past, this is the part of the show where if I had to do it, I had to just flounder through the thing, and it was absolutely ridiculous. Years and years of doing the whole thing about talking about the live chat, and I could never nail it. And then Patrice went and totally updated our streaming and chat system. And now I totally get it. And I can talk about it intelligently. And now that I say that, watch, I'll completely screw it up this week. All right. So when Patrice went through all the work to get us our new modern streaming system, and thank you for that, Patrice, you rock. It took our live chat and bundled it into the same interface. So when you go to live.britishtechnetwork.com to watch live, you get a column down the side of your browser window that's the live chat. And everyone can join in and participate. If you want to change your name so that it's not like one of the names that popped up was Reverend Zelda. It just makes up names. And then, but if you click on the purple button at the top right of your screen or your browser window, you can rename your on-screen name so that it's more appropriate. Like in my case, I changed mine to say Jeff. And that's where you go to see the links for things that we talk about and cool things when we do cool things and it's all there. It's where you get to participate with us. Like Magic Man, you have been so active today, and thank you for that. So you can see all the stuff Magic Man has been saying as well. And it's all right there. Now, let's say though that you don't have the opportunity to watch or listen live. Well, we have all that hosting from TSO hosts so that those show files live somewhere so you can watch or listen. You can still get to the chat from that day, so you can see those links and everything we discussed. So for that, you go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And Patrice has this really slick calendar there. Click on the day for the show. So today would be July 26th, 2024. Click on that, and then you'll get to see the chat, and you can find all those links and see everything that everyone is saying. And there you go. Simple as that. So that's the whole live chat thing. And Patrice, thanks again for putting in all the hard work to get us modernized with the stream and the chat. That was super cool. All right. So with that out of the way, I'm feeling, Chuck, like it's summer and we might as well just blow off talking about cool things because we should go hang out at the pool and wear our smart swimsuits that tell us when it's been 30 minutes since we ate so we can get back in the water and not drown. My grandma used to tell me that. Oh, no, you ate. You have to wait 30 minutes before you get in the water or you'll drown. That's the kind of stuff that put you in therapy.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember those days. Yeah. Yeah. But Jeff, I think the audience would be deeply disturbed by the idea of either one of us in bathing suits.
You would think that, but have you seen the stuff that's on the internet? I'm pretty sure there are people that would pay to see both of us in swimsuits.
I'll take bids. I'll take bids.
Oh, sure. I am not above selling my body.
Yes, I'm easy, but I'm not cheap.
Quality product, quality merchandise.
Quality product. Quality product.
Yeah. All right. So Dave is saying party on the beach in Speedos. Dave, you wear a Speedo. I will wear one too. It just seems fair.
I don't like where this is going.
Too late, Chuck. You're committed.
Yeah. Well, we shall see. We shall see.
You're never going to believe where I'm putting the Apple logo.
On that note, I'm going to take the hosting over. Where can folks find you, Jeff?
they can find me all alone, because why would anyone want to spend time with me when I talk like this? You can find me on social media. I'm Jay Gamut, and that's on basically everything, but I'm active right now on Mastodon and Instagram and some on Threads. Then for shows, you let me join in on Mac Voices Live on Tuesdays, so thank you for that. And Dave Ginsberg, who popped in the chat, Dave lets me join in Touch with iOS on Thursday. So Dave, thank you for that. Here on the British Tech Network, Thursdays for the big show, Fridays for the Mac show. Then Brian Chaffin and I do Context Machine. And Patrice Brendamore and I do Retro Rewatch, where we watch shows that I should have seen but didn't, but she has. So we talk about them from the perspective of Patrice, who's seen them many times, and me, the person who's seen them for the very first time. And right now we're doing Stargate SG-1. And I think that's all the shows. I'm still feeling kind of crappy. So if I miss something, sorry for whatever I missed. And Chuck, where can people find you?
MacVoices.com. That's where you're going to see everything that I'm doing. Working on a few other new projects and a few updates, but it is summer, and so things have slowed down a little bit, and there are other competing priorities because it's summer. Sure. You can also, as Jeff said, Tuesday nights with Mac Voices Live on YouTube at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV, and on pretty much all the socials, you can find me as at Chuck Joyner.
Awesome. All right. Well, Chuck, thank you so much for being so wonderfully patient with me today, considering I'm still not fully recovered. You are a saint or a fool. The line between the two is thin. I totally get it.
Well, especially in my case. But listen, I hope you feel better. I'm glad you're at least upright enough to do the show, and just keep taking care of yourself. We want you back to full power.
That's the plan. And it's funny. I said, yeah, we'll end up doing a short show today. And we're coming up on an hour right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. But I may go take a nap when we're done. So with that, Chuck, thank you for being here with me. You are awesome. And everyone that's watching and listening live, participating in the chat, thank you for being here. All of you are awesome too. You rock. Everyone that watches who listens to the shows later, thank you for being part of the BTN family. I'm so glad we all get to be part of this together. And yeah, it's like family. And speaking of family, Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows, even if we are the people. TSO hosts, thank you for being here and supporting us. Everyone, please go give them some online love. And with that, I think it's okay now to say, hey, everyone, tune in next Thursday for the big show and join us again next Friday for the Mac show. We are in Summer of Fun, and I'm looking forward to seeing what rando topics we hit next week. And with that, everyone, have an awesome weekend, and we will see you again next week.